Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Man, great day. Great night yesterday. You need any more juice, Seth? Holy smokes. Rockets.
I know. The Rockets are doing, everything.
Big
it's
things.
Crazy. Because they're, well, okay. So, in order of most recent, the Rockets signed Clint Capella, which was, in a weird way, one of the biggest surprises of the offseason. So, and before that, they'd signed Dorian Finney-Smith, which was a somewhat expected move. But, yeah, we wake up this morning with the Rockets doing... They added a superstar, but also managed to maintain their depth and kind of create the perfect environment that I would have wished for going into this offseason.
Yeah, I think it's gone really, really well. And like you, after adding Durant, I thought, okay, well, now's the time to play in the margins a little bit. And that's exactly what they've done with Dorian Finney-Smith and Clint Capella. Dorian Finney-Smith, you know, a 3-and-D guy. We knew we were going to miss, you know, Dylan Brooks to some degree, but now you get a guy that's maybe a little less of a head case in Dorian Finney-Smith, and in fact, a better shooter, you know, defensive guy that can guard multiple positions. That's going to be interesting to see how just he's employed. And Clint Capella, he's a guy, the former Rocket that I've heard mentioned a time or two. This offseason, but kind of like Harden and Westbrook and any other former Rocket that you think like, well, now that you got the superstar in the house and you can win a championship, let's bring everybody back. I didn't really think that was possible, but they get a little bit cheaper if they decide to do so, which I think they will. Pay $1 million. I think he's signing with the Rockets for about $7 million. And Jock Landale, we said yesterday, they kind of pushed his contract guarantee date about a week, so we'll see what happens with his deal or how they do some roster gymnastics there.
Yeah, and the Clint Capella part, I know a lot of people thought, okay, wait, is this a prelude to some kind of Şengün trade or something? The most obvious answer is probably the correct one, which is that you don't want to play Steven Adams every night on back-to-back road games, etc. And that so now it provides you some redundancy there at center. So, and if Adams needs load management or whatever, you're not looking for Clint Capella to be the absolute ceiling version of whatever his potential was back in the day. You just want a solid veteran, and they know him from the organization and they like him a lot. It also does, I think this might finally release any of the bad juju from the Russell Westbrook era. That, you know, there was a point in this team where you felt like the only way you could possibly really get the most out of Russell Westbrook is to get rid of this this promising young and productive young center because the spacing's all bad. So, yes. So now you bring Clint Capella back in an offseason where you've actually, on the sum total of things, improved spacing because you've got more shooters on the perimeter. It just feels right. It feels right.
It does. It feels good. It feels good. I'm happy for Rocket fans. I'm excited. You know, me being a diehard Rocket fan coming up, you know, since I can remember. Good morning, by the way, to all of you. I'm Sean Bajani, in for Sean Pendergast today and tomorrow. Pendergast is out for the rest of the week, and of course he is Seth Payne. Shout out to Ben Gary, producing, who always does a great job. If you want to text in, be a part of the show, 713-572-4610. You can also join the chats on YouTube and Twitch. A lot to talk about this morning, Seth. Clint Capella signing a 3-year, $21.5 million deal with the Rockets. He's 31. I had to do a double take on his age. I couldn't believe it. Just time is a warp, man. You know, for the team that, you know, drafted him and developed him and, you know, brought him in, to see a 3 and a 1 next to his name, not a jersey number. It was kind of wild to me. And then, you know, we mentioned Dorian Finney-Smith, and probably not a household name to most of you. I mean, he's a role player. The Rockets are paying him $53 million over 4 years to be just that, a 32-year-old veteran wingman, 3-and-D guy, somebody that you wanted, or the type of player that you and I talked about yesterday, you wanting for this Rockets team.
Yeah, and I mean, the where you look at it now is they've got the top seven guys on the team just have the ability to threaten offensively in a way that you probably couldn't last year. I think the biggest concern with Dorian Finney-Smith would be he's not at the same place defensively as Dylan Brooks is. I don't think you'd feel as comfortable with Finney-Smith on guards where Dylan Brooks, you could just, you know, you can put him on anybody. But the balance is that he's a better three-point shooter.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brooks was really good shooting threes last year. He's 40% shooting threes, but he's a career 35.5% guy. So that fifth guy on the floor potentially where you have all these other shot creators out there now is a guy that's more consistently lethal from the arc but does provide you that defense too. Yeah, the only concern about this would be the four-year deal. He'll be 32 years old this year, and is that going to bite you in a couple years, especially when you still have this young core? That's for GMs to worry about, not me personally. I'm short-sighted in this regard.
I tell you what, you know, talking about that, Rafael Stone, seen this term a lot since all these moves have been made with Durant and in the couple of yesterday with Finney-Smith and Capella. Dude is cooking. And the Houston Rockets, they win signing Durant last weekend, right? Or getting him in the trade for Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks, rather. It was them launching up the odds boards via Vegas and who's got the best chance to win the title at the end of next season, the Thunder or one. And typically the team that loses in the finals is somewhere pretty close to number two, but Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers, they've got their issues. Halliburton's probably not going to play basketball at all next season. The Rockets have been number two in the power rankings, in the Vegas odds boards to win the title next year. I mean, they probably can't go any higher. They're not going to move the Thunder off a little bit. But I tell you what, like, I feel like the narrative right now is just that, hey, you better pay attention to this Rockets team. Rafael Stone, Ime Udoka, they're doing great things. They've put the rest of the Western Conference, and hell, they've put the rest of the league on notice, really, Seth, with what they've done.
No. And I think that by and large, every move they've made has been lauded really up until the Clint Capella. Clint Capella got the ESPN grades. They gave it a D+ on the Capella. That was I was kind of surprised. I was expecting
was there reason
a C or something. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to scroll down to see it. That was by far the worst grade because they gave the Finney-Smith signing an A-, I believe. A lot easier one to digest. Let's see. The move seemed logical a few weeks. This move, which seemed logical a few weeks ago, was a surprise after the Rockets also extended Steven Adams' contract. Adams and Capella seemed like an either-or proposition for Houston because the two players don't offer position versatility, though starting center Alperen Şengün moved to power forward alongside Adams in the playoffs. Yes. We know all that, ESPN. Really, I think the biggest part of it is just flat out that it gives you redundancy with Steven Adams. And you can splurge on the upper end of things with contracts for star players and what have you.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a little bit of a splurge for depth, which is I like that. I like a GM that's not trying to have a top-heavy team and is just simply trying to look at the reality of it. And, hey, if Steven Adams is being load-managed, if Kevin Durant is being load-managed, both of those signings yesterday give you the ability to still operate more along the lines of how you need to operate when and rack up regular season wins.
Yeah.
The playoffs, obviously, the depth helps you, but especially just in racking up wins.
You know, we're going to get into this a little bit more later and try not to get too nerdy with the Rockets and usage of these players. Hey, what I think in just listening to you read that ESPN analysis of the Clint Capella signing, in that maybe it's a little redundant to Steven Adams, but we've seen under Ime Udoka and how the Rockets like to play, which I think is going to change quite a bit. And I think it has to, especially when you infuse a Kevin Durant into your offense. Let's just talk about that side of the basketball. It's that we don't really understand or know, and I don't think we're going to until these guys take the court together and Ime develops a rotation and, figures out how he likes and who works best with who kind of a thing. I don't think ESPN understands that. I don't think anybody really understands what's going on. And you can't when you throw in a guy like Kevin Durant into a team that is so young with still so full of potential, really.
Yeah. What's your personal hotspot on this team right now? The thing that still keeps you up at night when you're going through everything in your mind?
Oh boy, I wasn't prepared for that question. I don't know that anything's like quote unquote keeping me up.
Yeah, I guess that's where I just you got to guard against complacency. This is how you get burned. The one thing that pops up that you're like, oh yeah, everything felt great, and then I overlooked that one thing.
I've told you this before, and I've told people that listen regularly on Sports Radio 610 this before, is nobody was a bigger Rocket fan than me growing up. I love the Rockets, and I'd felt like my fandom was kind of stripped during the Harden exodus and all of the drama that ensued. And it was very similar to the way that I felt with the Texans when, you know, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby jacked everything up with the Texans. It was just like, oh, you know, it's just a gut punch, and worse than that. And the last couple of years, the Rockets have pulled me back in. I get excited when I know, you know, in large part, I can get used to some familiar faces. I can look at these young guys, watch them, appreciate them, enjoying them grow under a head coach that is long for the job, long for the city, wants to be here, wants to build something great. And I'm okay with, you know, infusing a Kevin Durant or somebody that, you know, wants to quote unquote chase one last ring before they ride off into the sunset kind of a thing. They did that with Clyde Drexler, you know, back in 94, 95 when they won the second title. And so when your organization's ready, the fan base, and especially this Rocket one, like me, I feel like is starving to like their team, love their team, enjoy watching their team. And it's a different kind of relationship with your basketball team and your city when you can rep it. It makes you feel great. And Rockets just happen to be maybe filling out the trifecta of what's going on in the city of Houston right now with how competitive the Astros have been for the last decade, what the Texans are building. They're doing pretty good. They're playing catch up, and I think they've picked up the slack here quite a bit in just the last 24 hours to the last week. Seth Payne and Sean Bajani, that is me in for Sean Pendergast this morning. Hit us up, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. Plenty more to pour over in regards to the Rockets and what they've done this offseason. I mentioned the Texans, Seth. I think the Rockets and what they've done is very reminiscent for me in regards to what the Texans have done just 1 year ago. We'll talk about that next at Sports Radio 610.